Hello, everybody. I am back again for another episode. Welcome to the Sex Sells Podcast. This is your host, Eliza. And this is a podcast, if you're new here, about sex, relationships, culture, psychology, etc., a little bit of everything. And I'm uploading this either Friday night or Saturday, we'll see. And I'm doing a little mini ep today, partly because my last podcast, I was interrupted by my child 7,000 times. And it was, ironically, the first time I uploaded it, I wasn't sure if I should upload it at all. And the first time I uploaded it, I accidentally uploaded it with the wrong audio file. And I thought maybe that's a sign, divine intervention. And the second time I uploaded it, I went and uploaded it anyway, and then I had all these technical issues, and I'm like, is this happening? Is this a real big sign that I shouldn't do it? Is it that bad? But anyway, whatever, I did it anyway. And so I'm doing a little episode today to make up to it, but also I've been wanting to do mini eps anyway, because sometimes I want to say something to you guys, but it's too brief to make a whole podcast out. It's too niche of a topic that won't apply to maybe everyone. Like someone asked me to do long distance relationships and talk about that, which is great, but obviously that's not going to apply to that many people that listen. So yeah, I am doing a podcast today. I wanted to talk about trauma and where trauma is stored in your body. And the reason I wanted to do this is because it's been coming up for me a lot about basically all of my clients, if not most of my clients that I've been working with, have been in long-term therapy or have experienced therapy of some kind. And they've come to me saying most of them had some kind of elements of trauma in their life as well. Not that that's a requirement to work with me, of course, but this is just what happens to be with my first round of my current round of clients at the moment. And so they've been saying, you know, in therapy, it didn't really have the outcomes that they had hoped. And I wanted to do a podcast. Well, first of all, of course, if you do a few months of therapy, you're not going to heal years and years of trauma, or you're not going to heal a significant traumatic event. That can take years in itself to heal from. There are things that you can do, and there are things that you can implement in your day-to-day life that will help you move on a little bit faster. I want to say more efficiently. And I think a lot of it, which I'm surprised about, is that happens in psychology and counseling, is there is a lack of psychoeducation, which I'm really passionate about, like making sure you guys are educated. So I don't know if that's what can make a difference, because that, if I was a client, this would be what makes a difference for me, is understanding what the actual psychology is behind it, or how my brain works, and why I hold on to trauma, ways I store trauma, my blind spots, etc. And so if you follow me on Instagram, you would have seen today I was talking about blind spots. And I'll repeat it again, because most of my listeners don't follow me on Instagram. But I was talking about blind spots, saying that I've been working on them with clients, and I got really nice feedback from a client this morning saying that, you know, now that she sees her blind spots, she feels really motivated and excited, and things have already been kind of falling into place the way she wanted, and things have just been looking up. And I was explaining that a blind spot is when we have, we store knowledge of something that we're unaware of. We're consciously not aware of this knowledge that we store. And the reason we're not aware of it, it could be that our ego wants to hold a narrative to it, or about us, and that knowledge does not fit our narrative. Or it could be that it's our subconscious trying to protect us from the discomfort of addressing what this blind spot is about. So an example of a blind spot is, I use the examples of entering a relationship or sabotaging all your relationships because you have a deep-seated fear of vulnerability. Another example I used was people that remain stagnant in their careers, and then their blind spot being they have negative beliefs about money and like asking them, well, what are your thoughts? When I say rich people or wealthy people, what are your immediate thoughts? Because my immediate thought when I was asked this question once by a coach, my initial thought was when she said, what do you think when you hear rich people? I said, success. But a lot of other people that were in this program with me were saying greed and rudeness and just all these beliefs that they were holding. And so the point is that that can be, those beliefs can be something that subconsciously holds you stagnant, and that therefore is a blind spot because you're not aware that you even have those beliefs until it's drawn out of you, which of course is the benefit of coaching. So I want to talk a little bit about a blind spot that I had. And it actually took me, this was recent, it actually took me a really long time to kind of come to this conclusion that like, oh, hang on a sec, like this is fucked up. And this was a big blind spot for me. So as you guys know, like I spent years working with really high risk families, working in child protection and with a lot of families that were volatile and violent. And over the years, I spent many years doing this job, and over the years I experienced, you know, harassment, stalking, and also a really serious assault that left me hospitalized from a client. And it wasn't, when that happened, I was really surprised to see that I had a very intense physical reaction. Obviously, I had a broken rib. I had a crazy back injury. It was really hard for me. But I was surprised that I didn't have much of an emotional response. In fact, I kind of bounced back emotionally, and my trauma felt completely only about the actual pain that I was in, but not about the actual event of being beaten up. And it wasn't until a coworker of mine, and I can't remember if she witnessed it or even just heard about what happened to me, but she had to go and seek counseling herself because it was so distressing to her knowing what had happened. And it wasn't until that I realized, hang on, there's a disconnect here between what happened to me and the assault and my feelings not connecting to this. And looking back on this with reflection, I didn't ever end up seeking psychological support for this. Because I didn't feel I needed it. I felt totally fine emotionally, but felt like I was in the most chronic pain of my entire life physically. And I didn't seek support for it, but I came to realize that the ego was holding me, well, the narrative that my ego was holding me in was I'm an extremely resilient person and I can get through anything and situations don't faze me. And so I was not ready to admit or acknowledge or even feel that this had had an impact on me. Yet my body felt it because I was told, you know, this would be a 6 to 12 week recovery stage. It was like 9 months of maybe more of severe chronic pain. I couldn't drive. I couldn't sit. I was sleeping on the floor, like literally on the ground. I didn't sleep in a bed for months and months because of the pain in my back. And it was my body literally storing my trauma because I hadn't processed it enough. And interestingly, I have a couple of clients where they are experiencing similar things where they say, I'm, you know, really not connecting to my emotions, or I'm feeling a bit of a disconnect from that. And they've also experienced trauma as well in their lives. And this isn't the advice I'm giving to my clients, because I'm giving advice and support to them and guidance to them that's specific to them. But what is something that I think is interesting is I'm going to talk you a little bit through our brain and how it evolved over the years, over like hundreds of thousands of years. So we start with our brainstem, the first thing that ever evolved. And then the first kind of brain to evolve from there is the reptilian brain. And the reptilian brain looks after our survival instinct, food, shelter, survive. Then after that was developed, our limbic brain was developed. And that is where our emotions come from: connection, seeking tribe, seeking love, procreating, etc. Knowing whether we enjoy things or dislike things. And in most recent times, which is still thousands of years ago, we developed the neocortex brain, the top layer of our brain. And this is a brain that is about thought and logic and analyzing. And when you think about going to therapy, talk therapy only accesses our neocortex because it's about reasoning, it's about coming to understanding, it's about unpacking, reflecting, which I will say, absolutely essential. And I do this with my clients too. It is an essential part of healing. And sometimes talking about it is 50% of processing it, which is great. But here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. Your trauma is not stored in your neocortex. Your trauma is in fact stored in your brainstem. So when you are having therapy or getting therapy, that's coming and at you through your neocortex, but it's not accessing your brainstem where the trauma is actually held. And this is why I have so many clients over the years, especially kids I work with who had extremely high traumatic environments, were going to therapy twice a week for years and absolutely zero progress because one, they didn't have the cognitive development to rationalize it as much as an adult would, or the executive functioning to do so, but it also wasn't impacting them where they needed to be impacted. And so one thing I know that all my clients talk about when they talk about the strategies they learned in therapy, and I say, well, what was helpful, what was not helpful? And what's really interesting is that many of these clients I work with were told about strategies such as deep breathing, breath work, meditation, walking, yoga, like relaxation and mindfulness techniques. And all of my clients, I don't think I have one client that is like, yeah, this works for me. All of my clients have been like, I don't like this. I don't like meditation. I don't like doing all these things or whatever. And what's been interesting though is to teach people, you know, when, have you ever been in a state where like you're, let's say like you're about to vomit, traumatic, and you feel really, really unwell and you're so sick and you start taking really deep breaths, that is because your body is trying to regulate itself naturally through its extremely deep breaths. Or if, for another example, it could be like if you've just had a car accident and you've got adrenaline surging through your body and you're wondering, you're not thinking about how to calm yourself down, you're not thinking about anything, but you naturally start like breathing really deep, really fast sometimes, but you're breathing and that is your body trying to regulate yourself. So trauma keeps you in a state of dysregulation, or if it doesn't keep you in a state of dysregulation, it decreases your window of tolerance so that you experience dysregulation very easily with multiple, anything can trigger it or many things can trigger it. And so the only way to regulate your nervous system is by doing these deep breathing, these techniques, the meditation, those types of things that your therapist was telling you about. But it just doesn't feel natural to most because when you have these things or you have a lot of trauma or you have ADHD or you just don't like sitting still and thinking or not thinking for 20 minutes does not sound stimulating because you're so used to having things that surge you with cortisol, surge you with endorphins, etc. So I think that if you have experienced this and you can't go through with the meditation, it's not working, there are other ways that you can access your stored trauma without accessing the neocortex, kind of processing it verbally if that doesn't work for you either. And that is through, for example, music and people that have a lot of experience with or history with trauma can really connect to music. And there is a reason for that because it accesses your brainstem and it moves the trauma through you, just like somatic healing does. When you see those videos of like people at festivals and they're dancing the dirt and they're dancing kind of like odd or like all the hippies do, that is somatic healing. They are moving their body intuitively to move stored trauma through their body. And that's why drumming circles exist. That is literally the reason why drumming circles exist. So if you're finding that meditation isn't working for you, then go and do some go to a fucking drum circle. If you live in Sydney, there's like 1,000 in Bondi every weekend. Like, try something else. But don't not try something because you're like, that's awkward, that's cringe, that's weird, I'm not going to sit in a circle and drum. Just go and do it. In fact, one of my clients, the task I've set for him this week is to do something, to do some rejection therapy and put himself in a situation that he would usually find uncomfortable, cringe, or could lead to embarrassment, and just embrace it and go for it. And who knows what can come from it. So that is the conclusion of today. And guess what? My toddler has woken up as per usual, right as I'm getting excited, but this was only going to be a little one. So I just want you to know that if you have experienced, you're that person that's gone through therapy for years and years or months and months or many times, and you've talked about it and you're feeling like, okay, I'm not processing this the way I wanted to process it, or it's not helping me to talk verbally about it, then you need to do something with your body. You need to meditate, you need to do yoga, you need to do the mindfulness outside, you need to do the long walks and combined with mindfulness, or get in a drum circle, do some somatic dancing. You got it. Just give it a go. You know, it's when it comes to your own healing, put it first. And as always, if you'd like to work with me, you can reach out to me on Instagram or my website, elizajoytherapeuticcoaching.com. And I shall see you at our usual extended podcast on Wednesday. Bye.